So, like I said, I was pretty delusional, like thinking that I could study after 8 hours of work, that I could just like lounge on the couch and get it all done. Every time I failed the mini quizzes, I just wanted to stop. And so I'd stop like 2, 3 days at a time, and doing the super fast method all this time, I can't even imagine going like 1 or 2 days without studying because it's just gonna fall right out, you know, of my brain. I would study like 3 days in a row. And then I would take 3 days off and then go back just because I didn't want to do it.
Welcome to another episode of the CPA Exam Experience Podcast from Superfast CPA. I'm Logan, and in today's episode, you're going to hear Nate and I talking to Jackie. Now, Jackie's story is pretty cool. Basically, she started out as a temp admin for a CPA firm and really liked it, really admired the people, and eventually decided to go back to school to finish her degree in accounting. Eventually, she moved to South Korea with her husband because he's in the military, and while she was there, she finished her degree. Once she started studying for the CPA exam, she learned that it is not at all like studying for school and really struggled for a few months. She would sit down thinking that she would get a lot of studying done, but would only get about an hour or an hour and a half of actual studying in, as a lot of people find out when they start studying for the CPA exam. Eventually, she found Superfast CPA and was able to start passing exams, and also was able to get hired on remotely back to the firm where she was an admin, now as an associate. Her story is really cool, and I think you're going to like it. Before we jump into the interview, I just want to give everyone one more reminder about the Superfast CPA free training webinar that's on our website. It's 1 hour that will save you a ton of time, and we teach the key ingredients to passing the CPA exam. The link will be in the description of this video or wherever you listen to the podcast. So again, make sure you go check it out. With all that said, let's get into the interview with Jackie.
So I have your, you know, the first thing I kind of heard from you was your email just saying, thanks. Your stuff helped me get through the exams. We'll get to that, but we'll just kind of start with some basically two direct questions about Superfast CPA or how, you know, you using it. And then that'll kind of give us more to go on for the whole, like your whole story type thing. The first question is, what were the main struggles you were having with the study process before finding or starting to use Superfast CPA?
Just the motivation, I think, was most of it. I had purchased my study materials, and I used Wiley too, because I had a coworker who had some success with it. I had bought it, I think, in June of 22, and by October, I had only covered half of audit when I had planned to. When I bought it, I was like, yeah, I'm gonna just study every single day and I'm gonna get it all done so that by the time I should add, we lived in South Korea at the time. And we were planning to move back to the States in January of 2023, and I was like, as soon as we get back to the States, I'm gonna hit the ground running. I'm gonna like just knock these all out. But when I had only made it through half of audit, I was kind of just, I don't know, demoralized a little bit, kind of not encouraged to work a full day of remote work and then get on my study materials and do that. So it was really hard to develop consistency. Mm-hmm. And I think if I would go back, I wouldn't have tried to start from scratch on my own. I would have looked for people who had done it and seen what they had done, because I was just following the Wiley calendar and watching the lectures, reading the notes, and then failing every quiz because nothing was sticking. So honestly, when I was on YouTube for whatever reason one day, and one of your ads popped up, and there was a practice session starting in 15 minutes. And I'm like, okay, I'll go and see what this guy has to say. Maybe it'll help. Maybe it won't. And then just realizing, oh my gosh, I can do this in 2 hours. I can knock it out before work. Just all the tips were super, super helpful. So I'm super grateful.
Okay. Awesome.
That I stumbled on that.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll get into all that. And then, so it sounds like, so a combination of things, which are all very common. So trying to watch every video, read every chapter, was just so time consuming. And even then, it didn't really translate to helping you answer the questions. So the whole thing was just demotivating. I mean, for obvious reasons, if you're putting in that kind of time and it's not working, yeah, it's hard to feel good about spending that kind of time. So you mentioned you watched the free training. So I guess the next question is just after the fact, what were the main things that Superfast CPA helped you with in your study process?
Yeah, it was having a structured plan for every day. And I think having that re-review for the last half hour of the 2 hour block really helped. And then, re-review in general, the app, I had the app, with the review notes and, the mini quizzes and the audio notes, and going back to that frequently throughout the day and knowing I didn't have to sit at my computer for 8 hours a day, was a game changer for me. Mm-hmm. So the 2 hour block, and using the re-review tools,
okay,
definitely helped me a lot, I think.
Yeah, it is much easier mentally to study 2 hours plus like the mini sessions as you go through your normal day versus having to sit with your review course for 4, 5, 6 hours. Yeah. I mean, it sounds obvious when you say it out loud. So you use the study tools a lot throughout your day then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And I printed out the review notes and I would read those before bed as some kind of twisted bedtime story.
A horror story.
Well,
yeah, right. Yeah. Put me right to sleep.
We've heard that from so many people that now we kind of recommend that. Like, I don't know what else to call it. So I say like a bedtime routine. It sounds like I'm talking to my 8-year-old, but yeah, reading the notes, well, the follow along notes, you know, because people would tell us over and over, they would read the notes and listen to the audios at the same time, kind of like you, the way you described it, some sick form of torturing yourself. But so many people would mention that we just made it its own study tool. So the follow along notes basically like read you the review notes. But yeah, we recommend that to just in general now that at bedtime, when you're trying to fall asleep, it makes sense because it's like an easy time. Most people are on their phones again anyways. And kind of the last thing you hear or see, just a little bit more re-review or time put in. But anyways, yeah. Okay. So let's go back to the beginning then. Where were you at in your career? What made you want to do the CPA when you started?
So a couple years ago, I kind of fell into a temp job working the front desk at a CPA firm. I had gotten my associate's in accounting, but honestly, like even getting my bachelor's in accounting, I didn't know anything, you know, it's nothing like school is completely different from the real world. And so working the front desk, I was always talking to clients about their tax returns and stuff. The firm did some attest engagements. So like I was exposed to a lot, but I was the front desk. So I really didn't kind of, I wasn't really working on those projects. Mm-hmm. I was working on client relations. And it just got to a point where everyone around me, like people I respected, people I admired, people I wanted to be like, they were all CPAs. So I had saved up a bit at that point, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to go back to school. I'm just going to finish my bachelor's and see what happens. And then my husband's military, as I said, so we moved to South Korea, and I wasn't working the front desk anymore. So all I had to do was work on my degree. And then when I finished that, the firm hired me back as a staff accountant. And so now I work for them remotely. And so that was pretty much the motivation. It's just everyone around me was encouraging and I really looked up to them. And so that just really started me down the career path.
Okay.
Were you able to sit for the CPA exam with your credits you have from your bachelor's degree? Because some states are different.
Okay. Totally. Yeah. So since I had gotten my associates in accounting, I had all of those credits from community college. So I ended up having everything I needed without having to do a master's, which
was so you had pretty everything.
Awesome. So I kind of,
okay.
I had like front loaded it instead of having to go back and do the extra credits.
Yeah. Paid off in the end. Okay. That's awesome. Yeah. Cause some states, they like in Utah, I was able to sit for the exam, before I had finished my master's. I wasn't able to be a CPA until I had finished my master's, or at least done a lot of my master's, but I was able to sit. So that's why I was asking.
I was just lucky that, like, in high school, I had no idea what to do. And my mom's like, why don't you just major in accounting at the community college and see where that goes? And I was like, okay, I guess. So I kind of just fell into a lot of this. But yeah. The CPA exam was a different kind of thing. It was the first thing that I was really, really having to work for, I feel like.
Yeah, everyone finds that out. Yeah, I was wanting to bring that up because you said in your email you helped me on my path from receptionist to CPA. So that I was going to ask that. So when you started that job at that time, you had no intention of actually working in accounting or becoming a CPA. It was just a receptionist job at the time.
Yeah, I mean, once I got the job, I was pretty good at it, and being an admin. I honestly thought I'd probably be an admin for the rest of my life. I mean, I was good at it. It's a fine job, makes a fine living. But working at a CPA firm, it's kind of with a bunch of great people. It just kind of made me want to be one too.
Yeah.
So, it's been a really cool path, from the front desk to.
Yeah.
Almost a CPA.
Yeah, the other day we talked to a guy who was a helicopter pilot. Like, that was his, had a whole career of doing it. And then for various reasons, just switched over to accounting and, like, starting from the ground up, basically, with school and everything.
That's a pretty big change.
I know. Yeah. Or way back on the podcast, there was a U.S. Marshal who got his CPA when he was retiring from being a U.S. Marshal. Just a lot of pathways into it, I guess.
Might as well. I mean,
yeah,
it does seem a lot of people don't plan to be in accounting, but then they end up in accounting because it's, you know, can be a good career. So once you got started, you know, you were kind of like, I want to go for this. You got your degree. You said you purchased Wiley, right? Was that from your firm? Like, did your firm buy that for you or did you buy that on your own?
I got it on my own.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Did you just pick one at random or did you kind of do some research to see which one you would like best?
So I had two coworkers who said Wiley was worked for them, worked pretty well for the review. And yeah, I didn't do much more research than that.
Yeah.
I was like, it worked for them, so I'm going to go ahead and do it. But I know everybody uses Becker also. Mm-hmm. I really didn't have a real preference. I just wanted to kind of get started.
Yeah. I was asking because some people do like this super deep dive research, but I mean, most people don't. I had no idea what I was doing either. So you got your review course, and so you kind of mentioned this before, but how did that go at the start? How long were you studying before you found Superfast CPA and it kind of clicked?
So like I said, I was pretty delusional, like thinking that I could study after 8 hours of work, that I could just like lounge on the couch and like get it all done. And every time I failed, the mini quizzes, I just wanted to stop. And so I'd stop like 2-3 days at a time and, you know, doing the super fast method all this time, I can't even imagine like not going or going like 1 or 2 days without studying because it's just gonna fall right out, you know, of my brain. And so that was June to October. So however many months that was, I was just kind of, I would study like 3 days in a row. And then I would take 3 days off and then go back just because I didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a few months of doing that back and forth.
So you work all day. How long were you trying to study at night during that period?
Trying to study like 2 or 3 hours, but really, if I'm being honest with myself, I probably didn't make it an hour, hour and a half. Yeah. just because the lectures were boring and monotonous.
Studying in the morning, like when your brain is fresh, I say this so much, I get sick of saying it, but it just solves a lot of problems, even despite the best study strategies, you know, just from a mental bandwidth standpoint, you'll get through more in the morning. 2 hours in the morning is basically worth twice the amount of time at night when your brain is fried. But then if you are using straight to the point study strategies, like going into the questions first, not wasting a bunch of time watching the lectures, you really are getting done more in 2 hours in the morning than someone spinning their wheels for 4 or 5 hours at night. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Going through the multiple choice questions, I got everything I needed from those, you know, and when I didn't, you know, when I needed an explanation, then I could go into the lecture. Like, I remember having a lot of trouble with bonds, like calculating bonds or property tax and reg. And those were the things that I needed to go back and watch the lecture for a step-by-step thing. But other than that, like, you don't need to waste time on the lectures covering vocabulary words or anything like that. So definitely everyone should skip the lectures unless they really, really need that section.
Yeah. They're kind of promoting this approach now, but also with the 2024 exams, there's a lot more application lectures on the blueprints now instead of remembering and understanding.
It just makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
You're doing MCQs most of the time on test day. I mean, like you said, Nate, like you say all the time, you need to do what you're doing all day long on test day. Like, you need to practice that. You don't, I mean, you're not sitting there watching a lecture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You just get good at answering questions. And I think that sounds weird to people that aren't several months into the study process. Everyone operates under that same assumption. I've got to know the base material, you know, I've got to have someone walk me through a lecture, then I'll be able to answer the questions. But that's just not even the case. You can spend an hour or two watching the video, and like you figured out, the questions still, you have to go through that process of figuring out how the questions work, even if you watch the lecture. So you might as well skip the hour or two and go straight to answering the questions. Okay, so once you watched our free training, and I'm guessing you bought the program or whatever, did you go in and watch the pro course videos? Or was it mostly the free training as far as the strategies?
So it was mostly the free training. And then I listened to these podcasts and gleaned what I needed from there. And I was able to get most of what I needed. Yeah. And I only got the study tools pack. But I think that that was pretty valuable for me.
Yeah,
I think.
And so you start studying in the mornings, I think you said. So you switched to studying in the mornings, doing this questions first thing. And how long was it before you felt like, okay, this is clearly working better than what I was doing before?
Instantly, I felt better about my studying. We were in the middle of an international move, and like having that routine, like that non-negotiable, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get up as early as possible to knock this out before I have to do whatever else. It changed everything. And as soon as we came back, as soon as we got back to California, I think I had a week and then I sat for the exam, you know, jet lagged and tired and living out of suitcases. And I walked out and that was my first one. And I felt, okay, we'll see. Like, I feel okay. It was audit. Mm-hmm. And later in the year I was working on attest engagements. So, I felt pretty like, okay, but you can't feel too confident, right? Mm-hmm. And then the score came out a couple of weeks later and it was a 79. And I was like, okay, this is working. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going exactly like this. And then I took reg in the middle of tax season. So I was working 10-hour days, but I was getting up at like 4 a.m, 2 hours. Then you go to work and then I was trying to take it, I think, in 5 to 6 weeks or something. So I'd come home and I'd do like re-review. And then I passed that one at the end of tax season, like in the middle of busy season. So having that routine really grounded me, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely incredible. And you kind of mentioned it earlier, studying a few days and then taking a few days off, which is also really common because, you know, people are busy. Most people are trying to study 3-4 hours after work. And for various reasons, it just doesn't happen 7 days a week. If that's what you're trying to do, it's just a lot easier 2 hours in the morning. But yeah, it's hard to make progress with the material itself, but you also don't really have breakthroughs in your own study process. But when you're doing it every day consistently, there's all these little nuances to, you know, answering questions, answering sims, making like an effective flashcard or your form of taking notes, you get better at it. Like all parts of the study process are a skill. The routine that's locked in over time just kind of solves all that. Mm-hmm. That's a really, really good point.
And I should say, you know, I wasn't at 100% every day. You know, some days like you're there, it's 5 a.m, it's dark, it's cold, you're alone, and you hit a wall, you know, and that happened to me a lot. But I think it's an Atomic Habits. It's like, just show up.
Oh yeah.
Just show up.
Yep.
Even like just for a few minutes, even if it's, you know, even if you're not all the way there today, like just keep going, like, you know, and just be there. And when you're at 100%, then you'll absorb what you need. When you're at 40%, at least you're showing up for yourself. Like, you just have to do that every single day.
Yeah.
That you can, you know, but you don't have to know everything at the end of the day. You just have to get a 75. Like, you can show up for yourself.
Yes. Yeah. I get asked a lot if you can still do this during busy season. And, you know, of course I tell people, like, I mean, yes, you can. A lot of people have done it, especially just the 2 hours in the morning. It might mean waking up at 4 a.m., but to get this over with over, you know, a few months, most people would make that trade if they knew for sure it was going to work. So were you getting up at 4 a.m. kind of the entire time you were studying then, once you switched to the mornings?
Yeah, 4 or 5 a.m. Tax season was a little bit earlier, but, you know, if I could recommend anything, I mean, I wouldn't highly recommend it, but if you're a tax preparer and you can schedule reg for a little bit after April 15th, you know, and you're doing tax returns all day long, you're learning from other CPAs around you, like, take reg. Or if you're an auditor, you know, take audit after busy season. You might know more from reading all of the work papers and all of that. I mean, it worked for me. It might work for other people. I mean, it's miserable, but you're kind of getting extra study time with your work. So in that way, you're kind of building on your 2 hour block.
Yeah. Yeah. I would think it would help to study something that morning. And then, you know, day by day, or as the weeks go by in busy season, you're probably seeing a decent amount of that, like in real life on the stuff you're working on. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. You know, you passed the first two. What were some things like throughout the whole process? This could have been day-to-day things or maybe even big life events. What were some things that kind of made it extra difficult at times to make sure that you were still studying and passing these exams? Like, what life events happened?
Other than the move, I mean, I mean, getting up early is like hard enough, but like, other than the move, you know, the first year moving somewhere brand new is really, is the hardest, I think. And I work remotely, so it's pretty isolating, being in a new place and everything. So, but I combated that, you know. I joined, like a local yoga class, and that gave me human interaction. But yeah, just like getting to know our surroundings, while also flying back and forth, because I took the exam in California. So, you know, moving back and forth, dealing with normal family things, and then, you know, a full-time job. But, you know, it definitely could have been harder. We don't have any kids. And, you know, I'm not saying there wasn't any struggle, but I think I picked a good time to take the exam. Nothing huge other than the move came up, but moving back internationally, because we spent the pandemic over in South Korea. So coming back to the States, it was a little bit of a blip. but it was, you know, was just integrating with our new community here in Indiana.
You were able to manage it, though. I think that's one of the biggest benefits that a lot of people see from using the super fast strategy is life is super busy for pretty much everybody. Like, everybody has something that's going on in their life, or something comes up, you know, like an international move or whatever the case may be. But if you have that focus and that dedication, you're able to make it through pretty much everything. And you were still passing your exams with all this extra added stress. So, I mean, it's just a testament that you can do it even if your life is busy, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think to add to that, I mean, I think having that set part of my life, like mm-hmm. maybe that was the only part of my life that was not moving, really yeah. helped too. Like I said, it was non-negotiable. Like, I got to get this done. And I wanted it to be over, and then they changed the whole exam. So I wanted to make sure I did it by the end of the year. So yeah, having the routine helped a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And once you finished reg, what was the process for the other two? You were done with tax season. So how did the other two exams go?
Mm-hmm. So after that, I took BEC, which is a lot of material. So mm-hmm. I took the summer, and that's what I covered. I took that in, I think I took that in August. And I remember walking it. That was the one exam I walked out, and I was like, I totally failed that one. Mm. I like, maybe I did well on the writing, but like, I totally failed it. And I think it was just because there was so much information. But somehow I, you know, miraculously passed it. And I was like, the only reason I passed is because of the re-review. Like, that's probably the only reason, because whatever needed to be fresh was fresh in my head. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, so that one I thought I failed, didn't. And then I took FAR at the end, which I think was to my advantage, because I feel like covering all of the other ones before FAR helped me study for that. And by that time, my study routine was down. I knew what I needed to do every day to get closer. And FAR ended up being my highest score yet.
Yeah.
So I really think that like honing in on what really worked for me helped in the end. Mm-hmm. Because I would do my 2-hour study block, and I would do mini quizzes throughout the day. And when I did them, I tried to do them in sets of three. I tried to say, I'm going to do 3 mini quizzes right now, but if I get 5 out of 5, I'm going to stop.
Okay.
So sometimes I'd only have to do 1 yeah. or 2. Like, so it'd be a little treat, but then I'd have to pull it out again later. Okay, I'm going to do 3, but if I get 5 out of 5, I'm going to stop. And then I totally skip the TBSs. Everyone needs to skip the TBSs. You don't need to do sims until your final review, because you only need to know how they work. I only needed to know how they work. So I didn't do those, and I didn't do lesson assessments either in Wiley. They do these like quizzes in between sections, but these didn't have the explanations. Like, you had no option to mm. have the explanations. And I felt like that wasn't helping me to go through the whole MCQ without knowing if I got an answer right or mm-hmm. wrong. So I totally skipped those too.
And so you finished FAR. When did you pass FAR?
I took it first week of December, and I got my passing score the last release of the year.
Oh, awesome. You did it right before yeah. the change. That's awesome.
Oh yeah. Your email's yeah. from mm-hmm. December 28th. Okay. Yeah.
Right. yeah. Yeah. I got that, and I was just, it was a weight off.
Yeah. For that, sure. Probably like one of the best. I mean, it was, the score release was after Christmas. I think it was like 1 or 2 days after Christmas, but still, like, pretty good Christmas present.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It was the only thing I wanted. I felt so bad that I wanted to skip over Christmas.
yeah. yeah
<it's, laughs> to get to the score release.
Right. Going back to your daily process. And so also studying in the morning, I mean, it let you kind of have the evenings off, right? Whereas before, you were working all day and then trying to spend your whole evening studying.
Yeah. Everything was pretty normal. I was maybe a little bit more tired in the evenings, but yeah, I mean, it was nice being able to, you know, I would listen to the audio notes while I cooked dinner, but I was still doing something I would normally do. You know, I was able to go to the gym and still do things on the weekends, you know. I didn't really do any like recreational reading, or I gave up like my favorite podcasts and stuff like that, mm-hmm. but I don't really feel like I sacrificed too much. Still had a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, locking it in the morning, like I said, it allows you to do that, obviously. I mean, there is this aspect of like, I use my phone to study constantly, 'cause I just viewed it as, I will do anything extra to not fail one of these again, 'cause I failed my very first attempt. And that idea just made sense to me. I mean, you get the screen time report, even if you are legitimately busy, somehow you find 4 or 5 hours a day to stare at your phone. And for a few months, you just give up your favorite phone time waster things. And I just, like, to me, that's a small sacrifice. I mean, you went 4 for 4, right? Yeah, that's awesome.
I did. Yeah, and I gave up social media, but now I feel like it was one of the better things I could have done anyway. I mean, oh, yeah. I don't really use it too much anymore, but I would definitely get on there on, like, the CPA candidate Facebook pages, and I would see, okay, what are other people being tested on? What tips do other people have? So I felt like I was still using social media to, like, further my goal of passing the exam and just kind of just focus. It's a year. Struggle's temporary. You can do anything for 2 hours. You can do anything for a year, you know, and if it's worth it to you, you're going to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when you're seeing results too, you felt good. You were passing all of your exams, even with, you know, busy season and everything. So that just keeps you motivated. It makes it a lot easier to go a full year. Whereas, you know, if you're going a whole year and you didn't pass a single exam, that gets really discouraging and just feels like you're walking through mud to nowhere, you know. It makes a big difference to have that structure.
Well, yeah. And there was also the thing I wanted to say was people vastly smarter than me have failed this exam, you know, and I knew that going in. And my scores, they weren't, like, I'm not a genius. I didn't score in the 90s. I'm not getting that award or whatever.
Award, yeah.
But supplementing, doing the little extra work, I feel like was the difference between me failing 1 or 2 and clearing it 4 for 4, you know, because my scores weren't anything spectacular. You know, so you just need to tweak your study routine. That's all you need to do to get you over that 75 that you need.
Yeah, it is, to a shocking degree. This is literally about your strategy, you know, because we've had people on the podcast that were studying for 10 years and, you know, maybe they would take exams, maybe take a year off. But, like, in general, they've been trying for 10 years to pass these, you know, and then they find us usually through a YouTube ad, and a few of those things, just going straight to the questions, maybe making flashcards, they get, like, one difference maker strategy, then they just pass all 4. So it's, like, literally about your strategy, almost to a strange degree. Like, that's all it's about.
Yeah. And Nate kind of just barely mentioned this, you know, with the flashcards and everything. So what was your process for, you know, you run into a question that you don't really know very much about? What was your process for making sure you could understand stuff and also taking notes and flashcards? What did that all look like?
Definitely. So when I would go through the MCQs and I would, you know, get one wrong, I would read the explanation, really try to understand it, not just skip over it. I'd really try to understand it and then try it again. But if there was a question that for some reason I kept getting wrong, you know, usually if something jumped out at me, I would write it down. I would have a notebook. And so as I was going through, I'd end the day with, like, a bunch of notes. And if there was one that was, and I'd usually flag them in the system too, so I could come back to it. But if there was something that I really felt needed to be on a flashcard, I'd circle it. And then at the end of the day, I'd put those on flashcards. Normally I would do this towards the end of, like, closer to final review, because at that point, if I still wasn't getting it, then that was something I really needed to focus on. So that would be methods for flashcards, because during final review, I would do something kind of dorky. So I'd have all my flashcards made. I would usually use those, but I would do something I called the 1-2-3 method. So every day, during final review, I would start with 1 TBS, because all I needed to know was how they worked. I would get everything else from the multiple choice. Then I would do 20 of my flagged questions. So these were questions that I was having trouble with, questions that I really needed to go in and dissect. And as I did those, I would go back into my notes. I'd go back to the lectures and go into the little forums where the professors would explain the questions. And I'd really try to understand those concepts. And then I would end with a regular 30 batch of multiple choice questions. Mm-hmm. And then if I had time left over, I'd work on my flashcards and do some mini quizzes. But usually I didn't have a lot of time left over because I spent so much time fleshing out those 20 flagged questions. And I think that really helped me leading up to exam day because I was getting those concepts that I had a really hard time with fleshed out.
Yeah, that's like kind that. Of a perfect, that's a really good routine or a little method. How would you pick the one sim? You just literally generate one random sim, or would you pick it from a certain topic?
I'd make sure it was pulling from a pool that I hadn't seen before.
Okay.
And I wasn't trying to spend a lot of time on these. So if it was like a huge, like, document review simulation, sometimes I would skip it and generate another one. Or if I got like an authoritative literature one, I'd sometimes be inclined to take another one, but usually I would just stick with one normal TBS.
Okay.
Random.
And on that, were you trying to fill it out on the front end and get as far as you can and then submit it? Or if it was confusing, would you immediately submit it and kind of try to make sense of the solution? Or how were you actually using that one sim?
Definitely. It was one way or the other. Some days, if I really didn't understand it, sometimes I would just submit it or fill in what I could and then really try to understand it. Because that's another thing that was important that I learned from, you know, your trainings also is you throughout this process, you have to be brutally honest with yourself.
Yeah.
You have to say, do I really get this? Do I really understand this? Or did I just memorize it?
Yeah. That's a huge point.
Nate and I just talked about that.
Right, we talked about it quite a bit, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's one thing. That's why I don't like, you know, some of these review courses are using what they call like adaptive, or some of them are starting to say they use like AI in their system and everything to tell you what you need to know. And I think questions that you've manually missed, I mean, that makes sense. But when you do some little diagnostic quiz and, you know, and then it just removes huge swaths of the material because of that one quiz, I think that's a big mistake. Just because, yes, you want to manually cover every topic and you don't really want to even rely on the software to tell you what you're good at necessarily. Like you said, it's getting to that spot and just knowing how to tell if you actually know this or not. And that's just a big, big thing, not lying to yourself. Yeah, we talk about that all the time. Yep.
And taking out things that you know at one point could be to your detriment later. Like you have to constantly be covering all of it, even the stuff you know, because I mean, I took FAR 2 months ago today and couldn't take it again today, guarantee you.
Yeah, that is a great point. And you've mentioned it a few times, the constant re-review. I was going to say the re-review is like the big secret to this, but I could say that about several big aspects. I think studying in the morning, the questions first, making your own flashcards, the sets of 30. But yeah, the constant re-review, again, just solves all these problems that are otherwise there that you don't realize by the time you get to test day. So how long did you leave for your final review? You mentioned you did like a week of sims or not even. What was your final review like?
So I would try to cover all of the Wiley modules at least 2 weeks in advance of test day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd start my 1-2-3 block.
Okay.
And my final review, and I would do that every day. I'd read my notes, I'd do the mini quizzes, listen to the audio notes, and really try to understand the concepts I had a lot of trouble with. I brought it up before, but like during FAR, I had a lot of trouble with bonds. Mm-hmm. And so I remember spending a lot of time during my final review knowing how to do bonds or getting familiar with the topics I knew I would see. So normally it would be about 2 weeks of doing that.
So the 1-2-3, that took up your pretty much your whole 2 hours. each day during those weeks of final review.
Right, right. And sometimes it wasn't even, sometimes I had less than 20 flagged questions, but because those last few pesky things I was having trouble with, I'd have to spend a lot of time digging into the forums and trying to really understand it. That's the key, is truly understand the topics that you're having trouble with.
So if you could try to put that in words, because when you mentioned that earlier, that's what I was going to attempt to describe, but I'm not sure I did. How would you get to the point where you felt like, I totally get this? In your head, how you knew you had that for a certain topic or not?
I think when it becomes like mechanical, I think when you see that question and you know exactly how to map it out, or you know exactly what is going to be on the other side of that flashcard, and when you can think about it in a way that you can put it in your own words and explain it to someone else, then you understand it. But there are, I mean, the CPA exam covers so many topics that there were a lot of pieces that took me a little bit more time to articulate that for these things. So, yeah, I also remember during reg, like property transactions, where you have to, you know, write out the whole formula to understand what's going on in that world. I would keep my notebook and I would just keep on writing it out over and over until I fully understood what needed to be done, and the words could be flipped around, the numbers could be different, and I knew how to get the right answer, or at least close to it.
Yeah. So even if I saw this, even if it was presented differently, I understand what's going on here to where you feel like you could answer pretty much any question about it.
I was just going to ask one last question before we do our final question, I guess.
Yeah.
I was going to ask how you managed like the stress of being so busy and stuff.
I'd like to say, you know, it's not purely about what you know. At least for me, it wasn't. I think if I were to give some good advice to someone else going through this, like there are going to be those times where you hit a wall in the morning and you can't hold on to your knowledge. You have to draw strength and like motivation from inside, because it's such an isolating, it's such an isolating journey. And one thing that really helped me was to develop like a mantra of sorts. Like, pick any quotes you want. Like for me, it was like a handful of Bible verses quotes that really motivated me, that I could bring out during those times that I hit a wall, on exam day, walking into the test center when your stomach's doing flips and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, just like, even if it's just telling yourself that you believe in yourself, and that like that you believe in yourself, that's going to make a big difference as well, because you can't do it if you don't believe you can do it.
It's so a perfect like clip right there.
Yeah.
Well, and that might be a little hokey for people, but I don't know. You draw a lot of motivation and you have to draw it from yourself. Mm-hmm.
I say that all the time, whether it's like in emails or I've mentioned it in videos. Talking about motivation or ways to, you know, actually motivate yourself probably does sound dumb to someone who's just starting this. And they're like, okay, let's just get into like, let's just cover the material, you know, but you have to get a few months in and kind of hit small walls or maybe even big ones, you know, have days that are tough to study or even weeks where everything falls apart before you understand that, okay, I'm going to have to like dig deep to do this and keep my head in the game day to day, week after week for months for this to work. It's a major topic. But then I would also say that gets a lot easier with all the stuff we've talked about. When your process is nailed down, you know it's working, you're still able to have kind of a balanced life. It's not a complete nightmare as long as you nail the mornings. The motivation is much easier. So we've kind of gone through everything. Was there anything else to do with your process, and or the other kind of the last question we always ask, what would be your top two or three tips to anyone who's still struggling with the study process?
I think we pretty much covered it all, but definitely switch to the mornings if the evenings aren't working for you. You can, like I said, you can get up at 4 a.m. for a year. It's not going to kill you. Skip the TBSs. You don't need them. Skip those AI lesson assessments. You don't need them either. You can get everything you need from the MCQs. And then really try to truly understand what you're getting wrong, and then just believe in yourself.
Awesome. Yep. Pretty much sums it up. So I appreciate you doing the call. We got into some really valuable insights, I think. So that was good. I'm glad you found us from that YouTube ad or video and that it helped. And congrats on being done.
Yeah, congrats.
Thank you so much. I'm so grateful to you guys. Appreciate your time.
All right, that was the interview with Jackie. I'm sure you found that super helpful. I thought it was awesome because she was able to go from having very little experience in accounting, even though she started out with her associates, to working in admin, and then eventually to working as an associate and passing the CPA exam. I think it's just a really cool journey, and it shows again that no matter where you are in your life, you can pass the CPA exam if you have the right study tools and the right study strategies. Make sure you go check out our free training webinar on superfastcpa.com. Again, it will save you so much time, and it's only 1 hour long. Also, if you liked this video, make sure to like it and leave a comment, and especially share this podcast with anybody you know who is going through the CPA exams. This podcast is the best free resource out there for CPA exam candidates. Thanks for watching or listening, and we will see you in the next episode.